Yeah, it's interesting because I'm not ready to put a fork in Phoenix yet. I do think they've got some pretty significant plans to shore up the coaching position in pretty short order, and we watched Orange County do it last year and turn their whole season on a dime. So I'm not quite ready to say they're through.
Today's episode of The Breakaway, presented by Los Rios Community College District. Mike Watts, who covers the league for the USL, does play-by-play on ESPN Plus all the time. You can catch him on his SiriusXM show with Devin Kerr as well. Chat about last night's monster win for Sacramento over Colorado, leapfrogging into fourth place. What has gone wrong with Colorado the past couple weeks? And excited to talk with him. He actually drops a little bit of hints on the Phoenix news, and then with a statement coming out earlier, also drops some hints about who he thinks that next head coach is going to be without coming out and saying it. So very cryptic from Mike Watts, but if you connect the dots, you might be able to figure it out. We talk about that and much, much more, how Sacramento is facing up, and mostly a Western Conference chat, trying to figure out what teams are going to be in those final two spots in the Western Conference. And we talk a little bit of U.S. Open Cup as well. So a little bit of everything on today's 20-minute pod we're excited for. And Mike Watts, it's coming up. Soccer fan, student, and graduate. The Los Rios Colleges want you to be all three. American River College, Consumers River College, Folsom Lake College, and Sacramento City College are now enrolling for the fall 2022 semester. With flexible class schedules, free tuition for most students, and support services, you can graduate and get a career in no time. The Los Rios Colleges understands you may have a job and family obligations that can make attending a college challenging. That's why they offer flexible scheduling options to meet your needs, including full-term and short-term classes, evening and weekend options, and classes that are fully and partially online. To learn more, visit losrios.edu/apply. Visit our friends at VJB Cellars in the heart of the Sonoma Valley and feel as though you've stepped into an Italian piazza. Taste award-winning Italian varietals, enjoy authentic wood-fired pizzas, and finish your visit with a scoop of gelato. A perfect way to spend your day, and only a quick 90-minute drive from Sacramento to a slice of Italy in the Sonoma wine country. Visit VJBCellars.com or give us a call to plan your visit today. Grow your business with Citizens Business Bank. Since 1974, Citizens Business Bank has created banking relationships by focusing on their customers and helping them achieve more for their businesses, their employees, and the communities they serve. Choose a team that can help you achieve your goals by visiting cbbank.com to learn more. Citizens Biz Bank, member FDIC. All right, excited to have this guy back, Mike Watts, who it might be the busiest man on the planet. He just told me his schedule the next couple weeks. Mike, are you getting sleep? I mean, it's this time of year for you. Are you doing like eight different sports, seven different leagues? How are you feeling?
Yeah, no, it's about eight different leagues this month, so you're not missing by much. No, I'm good. I'm not sure I'm going to feel in 3 weeks, but feel good now. Not doing much sleeping, but that's okay too. This is what we live for. This is the fun part.
It's a good grind, that's for sure. I know you called the Orange County match last night, which we were definitely keeping our eyes on, which was you being on the East Coast, a late one with Vegas. Obviously, Sacramento plays Vegas on Saturday on the road in a big match for both teams, right? Because it's weird. When the beginning of the season, we're like, oh, man, the Western Conference, the depth is incredible. And now we kind of see these first five teams in the West kind of inching away a little bit. And the six and seven spot kind of still open in the West. Are you, based on what you've been watching, do you feel like the two teams in it, El Paso and Vegas, are kind of the two teams that you think will end up in that six and seven seed in the West?
Yeah, it's interesting because I'm not ready to put a fork in Phoenix yet. I do think they've got some pretty significant plans to shore up the coaching position in pretty short order. And we watched Orange County do it last year and turn their whole season on a dime. So I'm not quite ready to say they're through. Monterey, because they started on the road so much, have a fairly favorable home stretch here to conclude the season. So I'm not quite ready to say they're done yet. And Oakland and LA, you know, you're one game away if you're LA, and you're, you know, a win and a draw away if you're Oakland from, you know, being level for the seventh and the sixth spot. So I would say really everyone down to 11, and I hate to say it, I think Orange County probably shot themselves in the foot last night for the last time. You know, anywhere down to like 11, I still feel like they have a real shot.
Well, Monterey has been really good at home. Obviously, Sacramento lost to them, what was that, last week. So, you know, it's interesting. I think it's going to be fun down the stretch to see what teams. It sounds like you have some insider information on Phoenix. I'm not going to make you give that up, but it sounds like you might know what's going to happen there. But definitely interesting to see Rick Shantz now gone with Phoenix. It does feel like that roster, if you look at it, coming into the season, they were one of the most talented rosters in the West, and kind of, you know, maybe just needed a change of voice in the locker room type thing. Well, we'll see what happens, and if they do have a turnaround like Orange County did last year.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think, you know, Rick's always been pretty clear. He's there to manage and, you know, have certainly input on everything else, but he's always done a really good job of having top quality assistants. And, you know, when you're as good as they are, you know, some of your best players get yanked, some of your best coaches get yanked, and they just couldn't put it all together this year. And it doesn't mean the talent's not there, but, you know, like it just felt like it was time, which is crazy to say about a coach who's what, 80, 34 and 26 or whatever it is, hadn't missed the playoffs. So, you know, you could argue, look at Mark Briggs last year. You could have pulled the plug on that.
Yep.
Would you be in an Open Cup final? Probably not. Like, you know, it's a difficult spot for Phoenix. But, you know, for as bad as they've been for the last 3 months, they're 5 points out with nine games to go. It should feel like they're still there.
Yeah, it is pretty crazy that they've been so dominant, specifically in the Shantz era, and, you know, one bad two-thirds of a season and they're kicking the guy to the curb. I mean, there's got to be a lot of moments. I know we saw the fans kind of have probably had a big factor in that. They had that TIFO, things like that. But I imagine he's going to get a job this offseason somewhere around the USL or somewhere. His record is too good to not. Let's jump and talk about Sacramento. Big win last night over Colorado Springs, leapfrogged them into fourth place, and now 2 points back of Colorado with a game in hand. What's going on with Colorado? They've had a rough stretch. Their defense is getting picked apart. I think it was like 26 goals allowed in the last, I think it's month, is it month? Something of that. Some crazy stat. We saw it last night, lost 3-0. They were up 3-0 on El Paso on Friday, last Friday. And what happened in that game? I mean, so what is going on with Colorado? What's going on? Are they going to plummet down the table, or you think they can figure it out?
Yeah, it's interesting because the offensive talent is undeniable. Like, you know, you look at Haji, Galena, you get Zach Zandy back. You know, I like Isaiah Foster. It's impossible to say that they're, you know, going to free fall all the way, but it has been the same problems. When you play run and gun like that, oftentimes that leaves you susceptible. And defensively, they've had a lot of trouble keeping center backs healthy. Defensively, they've been poor on set pieces, and they knew that coming in. They've been poor on set pieces all year. Those are the things that ultimately good teams will beat you with. They've been conceding goals early, which was uncharacteristic compared to the start of the year. It's pretty shocking, frankly, how that's gone. I think there's too much offensive talent there for them to not be able to pick off some wins. But, you know, even the El Paso game you referenced, I don't think the equalizer should have counted.
Oh,
in my estimation, it should have been blown dead because of a head injury. And I actually disagree with the referee's interpretation. So you could argue they should have lost another one there. I'm sure Brendan Burke doesn't agree with that. But
Well,
no,
he didn't coach last night, so
no, he had to sit that one out, which yeah, no, got tossed from that El Paso game, then was celebrating in the corner with the team shortly thereafter. Yeah. So the talent's there that I'm not ready to say, you know, their season is gonna tailspin completely, but compared to where they were at the beginning of the year, where they were the darling, it's been pretty shocking.
Last week, or I guess earlier this week on the podcast, we were talking about how Sacramento is in a really good position in the table, not only to just qualify for the playoffs, but they kind of set themselves up nicely where they have this Open Cup final that they can prepare for. They can rest guys like Roro Lopez, Lee Desmond, who've got a lot of minutes on their legs so far this year, and they can bring in some rotation players and still kind of manage and still have an opportunity to move up the table. Do you agree with that sentiment? I mean, if you look at their next couple of games, a lot of them are against teams below them, other than the Louisville game, which I imagine Sacramento will punt. We will not reschedule the game. Well, maybe we will. I don't know, but we won't pull in Orlando City. Let's put it that way. But do you agree with that sentiment?
Yeah, to an extent. Like Las Vegas, who are they going to bring? I mean, that's step one. So is Cal Jennings there? Trejo? They've conceded a lot of goals. I would say you're favored there. The Oakland game, like I think, you know, a lot's, you know, been changing, you know, with Oakland, and they've found their form, but you know, you still have a month and a half to go. It's a short roster, all things relative. Like, in theory, you are favored at home in that game. The Louisville game, I made a joke yesterday on air. You know, you're going to send the fighting Haurigis to Louisville and send the rest of the team to Orlando. I don't see anyone of you know, starting caliber going longer than 45 or 60 minutes in that game at Louisville. That if you get anything out of that game, you're supremely happy. You could argue you're going to do the same thing with Loudoun, and in theory, you should win that game. When you scheduled it, you assumed you would win that game, but coming off an Open Cup final, I don't know. Is Orange County still relevant by the time you play them? Is San Antonio, you know, on the road? You're probably not favored there. Phoenix might be streaking into form if all goes well for them. And then Galaxy, you know, start October. Like, I'm confident Sacramento will make the postseason in some capacity. I do think the Open Cup final is going to linger in a way that could affect 2, 3, 4 results in the league. And then all of a sudden you might be finishing 5th or 6th, not 4th or 3rd. And then you have to start on the road. And that's the tough part of this playoff format, is it's that delineation is, it's going to be stark out west. It's going to be like a 2-point difference between whether you're home or road. I don't envy that.
Right. It's going to be, it's definitely going to be fun to watch that down the stretch. And you're right, there is going to be some matches either before or after the Open Cup where, you know, it's going to be a grind. But credit to Sacramento so far, that game against Charleston, they went on the road 2 days later after winning the semifinal, got a win there. And then the game beforehand, they drew against Phoenix in a game that, you know, they didn't really, you know, they put a lot of rotation guys out there, and same against the Galaxy before Galaxy 2 before the Galaxy game. So I don't know. We'll see. Those results have been key, but it'll be interesting going into what we were going to see with the Open Cup final. I got to ask you some Open Cup questions because I haven't talked to you in a while. You did the earthquake game. You have that great call from the Roro Lopez banger goal. Were you bummed to not be doing the semifinal in Sacramento and making the trip?
Yeah, and there's a lot of sort of, how do I put this delicately? There's a lot that goes into those assignments. So the pairings had already been made, and it made sense the way it ended up going. But yeah, was obviously disappointed not to. It's funny, I've worked in this league since 2015. I still haven't stepped foot in Sacramento. For all the games I've called, they've all been off monitor. So yeah, disappointed I didn't get to call that game. And then I was sitting in my hotel room in Orlando after calling the, you know, the early semifinal with my producer and Jamie Watson, my analyst, and we are going crazy watching that game. I mean, we lived that like fans. It was in a way cool in and of itself. So yeah, that game was insane and fun to watch like a fan again.
Yeah. Well, that's good to hear. I mean, we had Devin Kerr on right after, and he was talking about the atmosphere and how it was one of the best he's been around, other than he compared it to the Champions League final that you guys did not that long ago.
Yeah.
Which was crazy as well.
Yeah.
But how do those pairings work? Like, you guys knew basically, because you did this the round of 16 game, but then when it kind of broke to East and West, you guys kind of changed from there.
Yeah, so the way it worked out, I was unavailable for one of the quarterfinals out west, and so I was put on the two Eastern quarterfinals that ended up leading to the semi. Devin was on the two West ones. Jamie works for Nashville, so he had been on the Nashville Orlando game, and Tyler was already in Chicago, so he was already, you know, a little bit closer to getting out west. So once you had put the two broadcast pairings together, and then you looked at who everyone had done in the quarterfinal, like, all of a sudden it made the most sense for me to do Orlando, New York. Doesn't mean I didn't want to call the game out west. It's just the way it went.
Yeah. What, and are you, who are you rooting for in the final? I just had a curiosity.
Devin and I were supposed to call Louisville Tulsa that night, and both of us have picked up a slight throat cold and will be unavailable to call that game.
Oh,
so I have a feeling we'll both be in Orlando in some capacity.
You guys are going to go?
Oh yeah. No, we're too excited for it. Yeah. I think, you know, who we're both rooting for.
Yeah. We don't have to say it. Yeah. You're right. No. Well, let me know. Cause we'll hang out with you guys or whatever you guys are doing. I'm sure it'll be, it'll be a blast. I know Devin's going to be doing, I think he's doing something with us leading up to it. Cause he had the Foster call, I told him was incredible.
I was sitting in a hotel room and I know all of Devin's lines. Look, just this week we did our 200th game together.
Wow.
That's 400 hours of content. We've done this for a long, long time. So I know all the lines. I hadn't heard anything. I hadn't heard that. But he has a family. I'm like, get him. Especially after, like, you have a penalty. No one who saw that clip, you know, on Twitter, I think, was aware without context of why he backflipped off that penalty to begin with.
Right.
So the fact that he stuck the landing as a giant middle finger to the guy from Sporting was phenomenal. And then Devin comes in with that punch. You're like, all right.
Yeah. It was remarkable. And I think the craziest thing was what Malik did was right after, you know, the crowd had kind of simmered, maybe a little nervousness came back for Sacramento fans because of the penalty getting called back. And then he finishes and does it, which makes it even more incredible, more gutsy than, I mean, and it was an unbelievable Panenka. I mean, if you look at it, it was going above the crossbar at its peak. It was unbelievable.
The backspin on it, I think I wrote on Twitter, like, I fell out of my chair. I was laying in a hotel room bed and I had my producer, my analyst with me in the room. I think I actually fell out of the bed. And I'm sure everyone in that venue felt it too. Like, the audacity in that, that is the biggest kick of his entire career. And to just backspin it off of Panenka, and it's filthy, just gross.
Oh man, gives me goosebumps, man. The place went nuts. It was a lot of fun. But let's get back. Who are your lastly before we let you go? Who are you feeling for? Are going to match up in the final between the West and the East? Who do you think is going to make it out of the West, and who do you think is going to make it out of the East?
Wow!
I know. Sorry, not to drop that on you.
look, it's cliche because they're the number one teams right now. I think the way Louisville and the way San Antonio are built are so made for the playoffs. I look at the East and I go, I'm not ready to count out Tampa Bay for sure. I think those two are clearly a class ahead Obviously, Memphis, Birmingham has come a long way in a short time. Pittsburgh, you know, Detroit, when they play at home, is nearly unbeatable. Like, there are teams that can make a claim, but I don't think anyone's at that level. You know, out west, I think it's a much tougher deal. Like, on a given day, I think New Mexico could beat anyone in the top four. I think Sacramento in cup football could beat anyone above them. You know, Colorado Springs has played like crap, and yet I'm not ready to call it on them.
Yeah.
San Diego, this is the best iteration they've had yet. And still, I watch San Antonio, who only team to beat them twice so far is ironically Phoenix out of their four losses. Like, San Antonio to me looks like they're a different level. And now that they've got Patino back and playing well, like, they should concern everybody. And playing at home the entire way, which, you know, 7 points clear and a game in hand, you feel like they're on course to do that. I struggle to see someone going to San Antonio and winning that game. And yet Sacramento can do it in, what, 3 weeks? And I'll change my whole opinion.
Well, it does feel like that first round bye is really important in the West, right? Because of the way anybody can upset. Now, you can make the case that, you know, the six or seven seeds couldn't, maybe won't be as good on the road. But you're right, having the home field advantage going throughout the playoffs is going to be massive, especially when you get into the, you know, the second round or even the semis. It's going to be interesting. I'm fired up, Mike. It's going to be a fun rest of the year. And especially, like, there's a lot of good storylines in here where, you know, the playoff hunt in the West, and some, you know, some table jumping up, maybe a little bit up top. I'm hoping to speak that into existence for Sacramento.
Sure. Sure.
But no, it's going to be,
this is as fun of the Western table right now is maybe the most competitive I've seen in my, 7 years covering the league. I love it.
Yeah, it's great. Anybody can beat anybody on any given night. We've seen that. Maybe not as much San Antonio. They've been very, very dominant, but we will see. Mike, what do you got? Tell us your schedule, because I want everyone to hear what your schedule is, how crazy this is.
So I guess I'll go through the end of next week. Let's see. I had Orange County, Vegas last night. I'm in South Carolina today. So number 12, South Carolina against number 1, Florida State. Sunday is Bengals Giants in New York. I've got 3 CONCACAF League round of 16 games Tuesday and Wednesday next week. Fly to Knoxville, Tennessee, Duke, another top 15 matchup. Fly to Florida, Orlando, and OL Reign in NWSL. Fly to Cincinnati the next day, Bengals, Rams, and then fly to Starkville, Mississippi the day after that, Mississippi State, Minnesota. So a lot of early flights. I'm racking those Delta miles up.
I was just going to say, whenever vacation comes around, you're going to be covered on the miles, that's for sure.
My wife and I just went to Ireland, and the airfare was free.
There you go.
Yeah.
Perks right there. Well, Mike, thank you so much for joining us, man. Always a pleasure to have you. You are fantastic as always whenever you're on the call. So whenever I catch you on ESPN Plus, it's always a blessing, my friend. So thanks for joining us.
Appreciate it, Connor.
But thanks to our guy, Mike Watts, for jumping on the podcast. We appreciate it. Couple big games coming up this weekend. We got some players only broadcasts. We're going to try it out. Adam Moffitt, Cam Iwasa, no Rob McAllister on Saturday for the Vegas Lights game. It's going to be a little bit different of a format, a lot more analysis, some storytelling. There should be a lot of fun in there. So very excited about that. That is the Vegas match coming up on Saturday night, Fox40.com and Fox 40 app, as well as ESPN Plus. That's only on the away broadcast. So we thank you for your support of this podcast. Please rate, review, subscribe, or follow. And as always, go Republic.